In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus Christ says that he is the door. And we can enter into the kingdom of God the Father through him. We begin to enter into the kingdom of God as we are baptized. And from the time that we are baptized, even if we are only 40 days old, we receive communion. We don't wait. We give communion to the little son or the little daughter so soon after they are born. Exactly at that point, when the mother returns to the church, the child also is brought. For a short time, the child was so close to the mother still that there is a time when they are together as still one, even though the birth has occurred. When the babe is still within the womb during that 9 months before birth, the child receives communion whenever the mother receives communion. They are still one flesh, and birth does not separate a child from his or her mother. He or she is still physically dependent on the mother. And that dependence is so close that for 40 days we are given the space of time necessary for that transition that is birth to have physically taken place. The holy closeness to God that the mother has experienced is so great and so intimate that, like Moses, who had been to the top of the mountain and seen God face to face, and when he came down, the people feared him because his face shone with the holiness of God. He was kept separate for a while until that intimacy with God had faded to the point that Moses could return. In the same way, the mother returns after 40 days and brings the child with her. And the child is baptized and receives communion. And the spiritual life of the child is the spiritual life of the family. The spiritual effort that is made by the parents is made not on behalf of themselves in isolation, but the husband on behalf of the wife on behalf of the husband, the father on behalf of the child, the mother on behalf of the child. And the spiritual life of growth continues beyond baptism as the child grows within the spiritual environment of the family. And how could that be if that child had not been baptized into the life of the larger spiritual family of the church that the family is a small part of, a little church? But as the child grows physically, a point comes when it is time for him or her to begin to awaken to and think about the beginning of their relationship to the larger family, the family that their home family is only a part of as a Christian family. Dee Pennock, in her book, Who is God? Who am I? Who are you? Talks about the time when Jesus was 12 and his parents took him to Jerusalem to a great feast where there were thousands of people. They celebrated the feast together as a family. But the family is an extended family. And sometimes when you're part of a large gathering like that, your children, especially if they're as old as 12, they're visiting while you are there with other members of the family. And when the time came for Joseph and Mary to collect all of their belongings and to begin to leave Jerusalem and return home, they assumed that their 12-year-old child was with some other member of the family, James perhaps, or his family. They weren't concerned because a youth is part of a larger family, after all. But suddenly they realized that he wasn't with them. He wasn't with anyone. They checked and they couldn't find him anywhere. And so they returned to Jerusalem, very concerned, very worried. They searched for him for 3 days until finally they found him in the temple, discussing scripture with the elders and amazing them by his insight. As he was taught, he had insights that they themselves did not have with their knowledge. They were amazed. And Mary asked Jesus, "Why have you treated us so? We have been so worried. We have been searching for you for 3 days." And Jesus, the Son of God, responded, "Why did you search? Why didn't you know this is where I would be? Could have come before you left," he seemed to be saying. Maybe time was slowed down for Jesus as he was there in the temple at that special point that he had reached in his life. "How did you not know that I needed to be here with my Father, working along with my Father?" Deep Enoch points out that in the life of every person, we reach a point where our biological family, the family that God has given us to raise us as children, is not everything that we need as a human being. We have begun to conceive inside of ourselves a longing for maturity, not just to be a child, but to mature. And at that point, each one of us is responding to something that God has put into us, longing for a spirit of adoption. He is calling us toward himself that we might become adopted into the family, that the incarnation of his Son and his Son's taking on our flesh, our humanity, made possible that we might become adopted into that divine family of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and all the saints. At one point, Jesus was asked, "Where is your mother?" And Jesus responded that those who were one with him, along with his heavenly Father, they were mother, brother, sister to him. That larger family is what we're talking about. As we reach 10, 11, 12, we have a calling beyond our own biological family. The parents, the mother, the father that has raised us. And we may react differently to this call by God to come to him in a spirit of adoption. We may reject it. Something has awakened in us. And either we accept to be adopted into this divine and holy family, or we become prodigal. And we say, in effect, "I want to have my own life separately." Adolescence, we call it today. It's the birth of an awareness in our mind that there is a choice, and it is our choice. We have the freedom, the power to make that choice, to go our own way, not to be restricted by the fact that we are members of not just the biological family that is our home family, but also the spiritual dimension of that family and its link to the greater family of Christ God, the Theotokos, all of the saints. There is a point where we need to be adopted into that family ourselves, just as we were physically baptized, but remained a member of the spiritual family and physical family that was our parents and our brothers and sisters. Now, if we are going to be members of that greater family, we have to accept the spirit of adoption and go as Jesus Christ himself did at 12 to be in the temple. We realize that we need to visit our Heavenly Father. And we realize that it is time for us to take upon ourselves the responsibility for the confession of our sins. That up until then, our parents, by their spiritual effort, their spiritual life, had confessed the sins that made the family fall short so that the environment was not as it ought to be. The canonical age for confession is 10, But it's not always 10. By 12, almost every person has passed that point where they need to begin actively to work on their entering into the spirit of adoption. It's something like if a part of another person was grafted into us. If we had an operation and we needed a lung or a heart or a kidney or some part and it was introduced into our body, the body would either accept it or reject it. And that's how it is at this point in our lives. It may be a battle, it may be a struggle that extends into the future over the course of years and even decades. Do I truly want to be adopted into this family? Or am I going to try to continue to have this kind of legal relationship to God based on the authority of earthly parents, where they tell us what to do, and we either do it or we don't do it, and if we don't do it, then we deserve to be punished? That we must leave behind. We must be sufficiently longing for maturity to want to leave that behind. Now, there is a tradition in the Christian West that says that that is the only kind of relationship to God that we can ever have. He is our Heavenly Father, the lawgiver. It's a matter of our breaking His law and deserving punishment, and we come to confess that we have broken His law and He forgives us. But that's not our understanding of our relationship to God. Our understanding of our relationship to God is that we are called to maturity. And at 12, or 16, or 32, finally we realize that we need to abandon our prodigal effort to have things our own way, and only give in when we are forced by some rule that we can accept or reject in our actions. This is a different kind of spiritual relationship. We don't fully understand it at 10 or 12. The Western, the Roman Catholic way of understanding this is that a person goes to their first confession when they have reached the age of rational awareness, and they can recognize whether or not they have broken the law, and they can confess that. But this goes beyond that. This is a kind of spiritual maturity that we may or may not ever have. Our parents are given to us by God for that period of time during which our bodies are maturing. Our bodies are growing. But beyond a certain point, we continue to grow, and we become biologically adult. But whether or not we ever mature depends on whether we are willing to accept this guidance of our spiritual Father, our Father in heaven through Christ, wanting to be one with all of those who are united in love and adoration of God, wanting to be united to others in a way that the world can't provide. The world does offer spiritual guides, spiritual fathers that will introduce us into a worldly way of understanding. We may turn to them rather than to the spiritual fathers that God gives to us. Once we reach that age when it's time to begin actively making a spiritual effort, and we begin to come to confession, not just to get a taste, which might be okay even before 10, just so we're not afraid later on when we've had an experience of it. But once we take responsibility for our own spiritual lives, then like our parents, we should be coming to confession regularly, at the beginning at least once each fasting season. Coming to confession for the first time is different when we are taking on the spiritual responsibility of receiving not just teaching, but also being introduced into a new way of life, a new way of living, living as a member of the spiritual community that is the communion of saints, all of those who have gone before and all of those who live in the world today. Even many adults are not ready to accept that. they find some way to go halfway, and spiritual maturity is not what they really desire. It's a long process, but it begins at that time when we have to make a choice between entering into the larger spiritual realm, the larger spiritual world, of what it truly means to be a human being, whose humanity is fulfilled in Christ and participated in by all of the saints and all of us who maintain communion in the church, not because of our capacity, but because of God's love for us. And so these are the things that we need to think about as parents, whether we are biological parents or whether we are spiritual parents. Because as Dee Panek says, God gives us biological parents to raise us up to a certain point, and then he gives us spiritual fathers. That's why we call those who are given to us in that way Father, the apostles and the saints. The priests are only called Father because they participate in that spiritual effort of helping others to enter into this common life where we begin to mature. And so confession can't be used, for example, as sometimes parents are tempted to think, as a way of emphasizing the authority that they use as parents to raise their children and keep them out of danger. Try to force them to be better children. Coming to confession isn't about becoming a better child. It's not that way if we're 10, 12, or 24. It is about beginning to move toward the fullness of the stature of Christ. And so it's something that we all participate in together. About that time that we begin to take spiritual effort and fasting seriously, we can do that. We are entering into a common life along with all of those others, along with all the saints. That's what the Great Lent is about. If someone is a catechumen, they are doing that for the first time. The rest of us are redoing it again because we forget. The world pulls us away. And so we have to re-enter again and again through the door that is Christ. The door of repentance. The door of the desire for God. The desire that we be fully human, mature, and move further and further each day and year of our lives toward the fullness of the stature of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.